Maine Medical Center is continuing to work toward a successful kidney transplant for Christine Royal, the South Portland mother whose story attracted national attention after she advertised for a donor on her car and a stranger volunteered. But now there's a glitch over a fundraising effort for Royal's potential kidney donor, Josh Dahl-Layton. An online fundraiser was intended to cover the cost of Dahl-Layton's unpaid work leave, but donations far exceeded the initial $6,000 goal and reached nearly $50,000. That raised legal concerns for Maine Med, which must comply with federal law that restricts compensation for organ donors. Patty White reports on the financial challenges donors face and efforts to make their choices easier.
In the U.S., more than 123,000 people are waiting for a life-saving organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. And that number far exceeds the supply, says Laura Dempsey of the New England Organ Bank.
On average, about 21 people in this country will die waiting for an organ donation that just didn't come in time. Unfortunately, we just don't have enough organs to save everyone who's in need.
That's 21 people a day. The New England Organ Bank coordinates donations from people who've died, and Dempsey says the shortage is due to a variety of reasons. For one, not everyone is registered to be an organ donor when they die, and not everyone dies in a manner where organ donation is possible.
The problem is 30 years ago, we thought we could solve the whole organ shortage with cadaveric organs, so organs from deceased organ donors. And the truth is that's never going to happen.
Sigrid Frey-Revere is co-founder of the American Living Organ Donor Fund, an organization that supports organ donors. 30 years ago, Congress passed the National Organ Transplant Act, which outlawed the sale of human organs, but also helped establish transplant networks. Frey-Revere says decades later, there's still a donor shortage. She says she spent 7 years researching the issue at a think tank called the Center for Ethical Solutions.
We discovered that so many donors couldn't donate because they didn't have a way to cover their expenses during unpaid leave.
Frey-Revere says the recipient's insurance typically covers all medical-related expenses for a donor, and there's a federal program to cover travel and lodging expenses for low-income donors and recipients. Frey-Revere says the problem is the compensation is just enough to get these donors in the door, but they often feel abandoned once the surgery's over.
Because the government would pay their flight or their lodging near the transplant center and then send them home essentially with no money to take care of themselves while they were recovering.
Including the time they miss from work. The American Living Organ Donor Fund helps cover these extra out-of-pocket expenses related to a donation. On average, they give donors between $1,300 to $4,000. That is allowable under federal law. But some donor advocates say the government should automatically cover these expenses and maybe even pay above and beyond the costs associated with the donation.
We could wipe out the organ shortage virtually overnight.
Jeff Rose is a senior attorney with the Institute for Justice, a civil liberties law firm in Virginia.
I think that our principal ethical consideration should be saving people's lives. And our second ethical consideration should be allowing both patients and donors to make informed decisions as adults. That's how we respect their dignity and autonomy, by treating them like grown adults.
Rose says even if donors received compensation, the process would still require informed consent and extensive physical and mental screening. But Mildred Solomon, president of the Hastings Center, a research ethics institute, says making organs more of a commodity raises serious ethical issues.
The main concern I have is that at the end of the day, it's going to be poor people who sell their organs. And to call that a free choice and to say, you know, it's just up to them, is really to ignore the financial desperation.
Solomon says she sees the long waiting list for transplants not as a failure of the current altruistic system, but as a failure of the U.S. public health system to prevent diseases like diabetes that create the need for organ donation in the first place. As for the kidney donation that Maine Medical Center is grappling with, Jeff Rose of the Institute for Justice says the best solution now is for donor Josh Dahl-Layton to return the fundraising money that exceeds his expected costs of donating a kidney. For MPBN News, I'm Patty White.